on the Lord's Day that Pastor Slayhower died, we sang that Sunday morning hymn 374 and then 664. One, a prayer to God that he would raise up those who would take the place of such Elijahs. And the other, of course, the beautiful hymn on the death of a believer. Well, this morning, I think it would be wise and good if we here open by singing hymn 1155. 1155. In vain the fancy strives to paint the moment after death, the glories that surround the saints when yielding up their breath. Hymn 1155.
Thank you.
text, really for our instruction from the Word of God, out of first the Deuteronomy chapter 34, a few verses there, and then Joshua chapter 1. Deuteronomy 34. I want to commence reading here at verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun, full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, and your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy word, and help us at the throne of grace. O thou gracious Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. O Lord, do remember that we are but dust and ashes. We, Lord, are poor and needy. We can do nothing without thee, but all we pray that when thou wilt condescend unto us and grant that we too might be given something of that word of strength that Joshua of old had, only be thou strong, be very courageous. May we hear, Lord, that promise, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. O Lord, we pray that we might have that portion, yea, Lord, and a double portion of it. Oh, for such a promise fulfilled. O Lord, that indeed will be all in all to a poor needy soul, to have that sweet hope and comfort that the Lord is with him. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt yet give that desire, that longing in every heart, that it may be, Lord, in while life endure, and then when death comes, that it may be fulfilled unto each one. Oh Lord, how wonderful then it will be, for then, Lord, such souls will forever abide with thee. Oh, we pray that thou would help us now to come near unto thee. Then we thank thee for the privilege granted, mercies bestowed, that we might gather together around the word of God and in thy house. May it please thee, Lord, to come and make one in our midst. Oh, we pray, O God, that thou wilt be pleased to condescend. Wilt thou, Lord, now come, and oh, may there be, Lord, even today, the fulfillment of the ancient promise, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Oh, how we long, Lord, to be rightly gathered, that we might be gathered to thy feet, there to come and bow, and there to hear thy word, there to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Oh, precious place, sacred moments, when we are favored to come there. Oh, may it be, Lord, that some here this day may, ere the day come to its end, be favored in that way. Help them then, whether they be young or old. It may be, Lord, even amongst our young friends, some of our children perhaps, that they shall be favored. Oh, Lord, we thank thee that thou art such a God. Thou dost welcome sinners, the lowest of such, those who in themselves feel themselves to be fools. Oh, thou indeed, Lord, dost give unto such that encouragement to come, for thou indeed wilt never cast them away. Oh Lord, may there be those this morning who come tremblingly. Trembling because of sin, because of guilt, because of what they are in self. They tremble, Lord, at the word of God. They tremble in the sense, Lord, that they fear just condemnation. But oh, may such find that God is reconciled. Wonderful that, Lord, that thou, the holy, holy, holy one, can be reconciled to sinners, vile sinners. We bless thee, Lord, what thou hast done in the person of thy dear Son, that there indeed, Lord, there is that reconciliation made. For it is he, Lord, who makes reconciliation. It is he who takes poor sinners to present them faultless before the throne. It is he who bears the sin away, takes away all the guilt. Oh, what a precious Saviour he is then. But oh, Lord, may he be made such to us, revealed as such, oh, that there might be a believing on him in that way, that we may come, Lord, then, by precious faith, looking unto Jesus. Oh, may there be much of that today in our assembly, Lord, a real looking unto Jesus. The eyes lifted up. Oh, may it be, Lord, that there might be a fixing of our eyes upon him, that we might behold in him the way, that we might see in him that righteousness, that we might, Lord, believe on him for justification. Oh, bless us now. Oh, we do pray, O God, that thou wilt yet so direct thy word this morning, that where it is needed, it may be a word as an arrow to convince of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. It may be as a hammer to break a heart of stone, to break it down, lay it low. It may be, Lord, a word of direction to those who sit in perplexion. It may be a word of comfort to all who mourn. It might be the word of lifting up to such whose hands are hanging down. O Lord, direct the word of God to that end. Be thou the master of assemblies. O that thou wouldst so order all things. And do, Lord, grant that there might be also the working out of salvation. O bless us then. Help us now. O we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt take away every vain thought, worldly thoughts, carnal thoughts, all these things, Lord, which intrude in time and sense, may they all, Lord, be barred and shut out, or that we may be helped, Lord, to attend to the real necessity of our soul, that we might be found ready and prepared, washed in the Redeemer's blood, to have that good hope through grace, to be built up on that foundation of the apostles and prophets. Oh, Lord, bless us now. And hear us, we pray. We do ask, O God, that thou wilt yet, Lord, draw nigh unto souls who are longing, hungering, thirsting, that they, Lord, might be fed. There might be a crumb that they might gather up, a living crumb, a vital crumb, a crumb which they will never forget, that will do them such good. O Lord, what wonders there are in the crumbs of God, in those little helps and blessings. We would not despise any day of small things, whatever it be, Lord, in whatever way. We would, Lord, cherish them. O help us then. We come, Lord, so needy, so poor. But, O Lord, we come to thee full of grace. O, the riches of thy grace and the blessings therein, the helps that are there. O Lord, whate'er thy poor soul may need is found there. O, we thank thee. O, we would praise thee. O, that we could praise thee more. that we could, Lord, truly extol thy name. We would, Lord, come in the spirit of the hymn, or that my soul could love and praise him more. His beauty's trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice, and all his will esteem. O Lord, may it please thee then to help us. O thou knowest those who to this day have heavy burdens, trials. They have things which distress, things which cause, Lord, them at times to stumble, to reel to and fro. Thou knowest, Lord, those in those paths. Wilt thou draw near? Wilt thou undertake? May they prove that thou art that burden bearer. O Lord, be very gracious then unto such, and help them. We do pray that thou would also remember such who sit in darkness. May it be that thou, God, wilt hasten that day when it shall be light. Lord, how wonderful it is for the eyes to behold the sun. If it be so naturally, much more so spiritually. Oh, bless us then. Oh, remember, Lord, the families, each of them in their need. Parents, they have, Lord, much need. They need that help of God, that grace, to instruct and to teach, to warn, to be an example. Oh, help them, Lord, in every way. Help the dear little ones, too, to heed and to fear and tremble. Oh, remember, Lord, those also in old age. Oh, we thank thee for the extending of life. Lord, how good thou art still. Oh, we pray that thy may, Lord, be favoured and blessed, that in even that time of life, when they no longer are able to do those things in the flesh that once they once did, through the infirmities of it, they may, Lord, in spirit be stronger, shine forth, that they may manifest, Lord, something of thy grace. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless them then, prepare them each. O may they be, Lord, true examples. O thou remember, Lord, that those in the midst of life, pressed with many burdens, duties, callings, responsibilities, and Lord, many things which so take up time and thought. But, O Lord, even in such a time and under such seasons, may they be given that grace that they may think upon the eternal things. O, bless them then. O Lord, we pray thy help then. Hold us up and leave us not. O Lord, we fear if left. What shall become of us? O solemn thought, Lord. O to fall away, we cannot bear the thought, Lord. O keep us then. Unite our heart to fear thy name and draw us. Hold thou us up and we shall be safe. O, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with all thy people everywhere, all the assemblies of thy saints, those who meet by themselves. Help them each, Lord. Direct thy word unto them, and do be very gracious. We do pray that thou wilt now, Lord, then, O, take away all iniquities, pardon our many sins, and do wash us in thy precious blood. O Lord, do let us feel that precious blood in its application. O, that we may know something of the purging away of all our sin and guilt. O Lord, accept our thank offerings for the multitude of mercies, for the many blessings, blessings for time. But, oh, may there be yet, Lord, some blessings for eternity. The preparation of our hearts, the revelation of Christ to our soul, the precious drawings of the Spirit of God. Oh, may we know something, Lord, of the light of thy word. Hear us, Lord, in our need and help. Oh, Lord, who then hide thy face from all our sins and accept us in that name of Jesus. We ask for his sake. Amen. I feel it right, and I feel the burden laid on me to speak just a few things regarding our departed friend and pastor. Some of the friends have heard what was said at the funeral, but there are many things, friends, I feel I should just touch on. Truly, God has favored Zion, Grand Rapids, for many years. I remember as a little boy, when there was no pastor, it seemed to me that it was years that we didn't have a pastor. I was quite surprised to find out it was only about a year and a half. But that's the difference when a pastor's there and when he's not. And from the time that Mr. Knight came in 1960, right up and through till pastor's death, there's been a pastor at Grand Rapids. A long period of time. But now truly there is not. And we think of the young friends. I think that year and a half to me seems so long. What it must be then to the children there. Oh, may God help us, help them to truly wrestle and pray that he would yet appear again. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. When we think of Pastor Stayhower, we can't think of a time in our life when he wasn't there. When he wasn't at Zion. When he didn't have an influence upon us. An influence for good. I remember as a 6-year-old boy, Pastor Stayhower and his mother, along with a number of the older members of Zion, would come to our house on a Sunday evening. You know, I didn't understand much of what they were saying. But there were a few things, 4 things especially, that seemed, as it were, to impress me. First, how they loved the Lord Jesus. They did. What an impression it made on me. Secondly, how they loved one another. Oh, that was evident. And that's what it should be. Thirdly, was the godly atmosphere. I didn't understand much, but I did understand that. There was a godly atmosphere. Some years ago, a dear friend in England, now gone to glory, had told me how she heard some famous boxer in England, and he said he had had a little boy, and he said as soon as that little boy was old enough, 1.5 or 2 years already, he was going to take him to the boxing ring that he might soak up the atmosphere. This woman who grew up in the Catholic Church actually said to me, ought that not be the concern of every parent, that as soon as their children are able to take them in those places in the house of God where there is a godly atmosphere? That really struck me. It brought me back to that, my childhood, when those old members used to come to the house. The 4th thing that struck me so was the gracious spirit. You know, dear friend, that's a vital thing. the gracious spirit that they displayed. They indeed walked in the spirit. It was wonderful, that little testimony. I'm sure none of them ever really knew what effect it had upon me as a little boy. Well, it did others, I have to leave. But I know what it did on me. And how I used to prize those evenings. It wasn't often, once every 2 months or so, that Mum and Dad would have them all. But I couldn't wait for those Sunday evenings when they would all come to our house. But they soon passed. And now the last of that generation is past. They are gone to glory. We are left behind. When pastor became, and until that time he was pastor different, he was fondly known as Jay. Everybody knew him as Jay. And it was a fond term, a loving name to young and old. He was called Jay even after he became pastor because it was who he was. So all anybody knew him as. It wasn't until our daughter was born that my wife and I thought we could not have her calling him Jay, so we began to call him Pastor. And that's when it began to take hold. And from then on, nearly every family began to take the example and called him Pastor. My wife and I were the first that he married. 2 weeks after we were married, he had his first funeral, and that being Mr. Bert Skelton, the good old deacon, the godly deacon. God favored him in that way, I believe. Oh, we cannot now name all things that took place in those years. Many memories. But I want to come to the last months when he was in the home. My wife and I will never forget the day that we brought him to that home. Actually back to another home in the district of homes there. As we pulled in the drive, he broke down crying. He'd had a bad experience in one of the other homes in that area. And he just couldn't face going back. We broke down crying too. To have to take him there. But it was a different home this time. And I tried to assure him that we're just going to try it for a month. If he doesn't like it, we'll find something else. Within that month, those in that home put him at such ease. The home manager was so good. To his last day, he spoke of her with fond affection, of her care, attentiveness, thoughtfulness, and a few others in that home as well. I'll come to some of them in a moment, because he had an effect upon them. But in the last 6 months, and I say prior to that time, he would often say, "Oh, I seem so dark and so far off and so barren." But the last 6 months was different. The Lord had appeared and blessed. And dear friend, this was real. What a change it made in Pastor. In his conversation, all that he expressed. Then, every time I talked to him on the phone, his words were, "Oh, I long for the Lord to take me." Don't hear much of that today anymore. Very, very little. "I long for him to take me. Come, Lord Jesus." Oh, how often he would say that on the phone to me or when we were visiting him. "Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly." Oh, dear friends, he longed to be there. God had made it clear. When we left 2 weeks ago, and I look back over the whole events, we intended to go in August, but due to complications here, we weren't able. We intended to go in September, and then the death of our friend here stopped it. Now, you had a minister from England in October, so we intended to go the 1st of November, and there were things there that prevented it. So I said to Sue, we'll try to go the third Sunday. Well, different how the Lord had ordered it all. That Tuesday before, we intended to come, and I'd spoken unto him the Friday before, telling him, I hope to see you next Friday in the home. And he said to me, that will be really nice. On the Tuesday, the home manager called me and said, he's going down fast. He said, I can't tell you more. He said, I'm not allowed to, but he is going fast. The next day, a friend there called and said that he had told her that he didn't expect that he would be there by the time I got there on Friday. So we moved up our time from going on Friday to Thursday. And what a mercy it was that we were able to. Thursday night, he could not correspond. He was exhausted. But Friday, what a sweet day it was. A day we will never forget. When we arrived, he put up his hand feebly. I told him, reserve your strength, Pastor. But at one moment early afternoon, he just spoke up. He slept a lot, but he would wake up and he said, all is clear. It was a beautiful word. All is clear. And I said, what is clear, Pastor? He said, God's way is the best way. He has shown me it is all clear. Oh, dear friend, he was in a very good place. We could not help but wonder how soon it would come when one is in such a place. But then, a little bit later, he spoke up again. He said, I do not want to boast, but loudest of the crowd I'll say. He had said that to many before. He said it to me on the phone a number of times. But he never put it like that. I do not want to boast, but loudest of the crowd I'll sing. And I'm sure he does now. A little while later, and he seemed to be in such sweet composure, he spoke up, many chores to be done. And I said to him, Pastor, your chores are done. Oh, he said, but every day brings something new. Zion's troubles to renew. There were those chores yet that still were coming on him. Troubles, as he felt at times. But then he soon followed that with, he's a masterful performing God. Later that afternoon, he all of a sudden woke up and he said, destroy. I thought, what a strange word. Destroy? I said, Pastor, what is to be destroyed? He said, the word of a servant. I said, well, what's the connection? Destroying the word of a servant? He said, a combination. Raising up and a tearing down. He knew much of that in his ministry. There were those, sadly from in the church even, who sought to tear it down. The seasons he passed through. Oh, he must have been reflecting at that time on them. We then read to him Isaiah 58, verses 4 to 8. I will give them a name, an everlasting name. And we just referenced that a little bit. The eternal state, the great name, the wonderful name that's given. He then said, I love the name of Jesus. That's everything. Ah, then he was quiet for a little time and suddenly spoke up, a dark day. And I said, what makes it a dark day? He said, the Lord's absence. He followed that with saying, my eyes want to shut. He said, I'm slipping. I said, what, why? He said, I'm getting weaker. I asked, it's all right, so long as the outward man is strengthened and out and upheld. And then he nodded as if that was true. He felt he was upheld in the inner man. The outward man was sinking, but oh, the inner man. A few times he asked me the time, what time it was. And I said to him, Pastor, it won't be long and you won't mark time anymore. You'll be done. A few times his mouth was so dry, we gave him a little water on a sponge. And I would say to him, Pastor, just a little more earthly water. You'll drink the water of life. Another time I said to him, we give you sweet water in a sponge. They gave the Lord Jesus vinegar in a sponge. So you think on that as you lie. A little while later, late in the afternoon, he suddenly woke up and he just cried out, oh, that will be glory for me when I look on his face. Indeed, I said to him, it won't be long and you'll see him face to face. Oh, you'll be blessed beyond all measure. And then too, he at times would say, but if we desire him here, he will know us there. Oh, some of those sweet confessions that he made. Surely, he was one who was truly desiring right to the end. I then read to him about the blessed man who believes. And he said to me, to believe on Jesus is a common thing to many. It's a special thing to a few. And so there's a separation. Ah, but he was still looking. Late afternoon on Friday, it was one of the last real utterances. We were standing off a little bit talking to some others who had just come. And he shouted out, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I walked over to the bed. And he said to me, if this is dying, how sweet it is. Kept, he said. Kept. We read a few more portions out of 2 Corinthians 5. 1. Our earthly house of this tabernacle being dissolved and so forth. And then Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there's none upon earth I desire beside thee. He said not much the rest of that evening, nor the next day. On Saturday morning when we came, I said to him, Pastor, we've arrived. And he said, I thought I'd be home by now. When I said goodbye to him on Saturday night, I said, Pastor, I've got to go. I've got services ahead tomorrow. But I hope to see you tomorrow evening after the service. And I said, but perhaps you'll see a face far better than any face on earth. And so it proved to be as he passed away 6 o'clock the next morning, on the Sunday morning. Now, when he was in that home, and we wondered why he was called to linger so long there, he himself wondered at times. But after he was gone, we had 3 or 4 people in the home come up and tell us how different he was from everybody else in the home, from many they'd taken care of. He was so different. One said that when he was at the table one time, he just was saying to a friend, "Oh, God is so good, he's so good." And another at the table said, "He's still preaching." That was a sweet testimony. Still preaching. And then one of the caretakers who had been there the first 6 or 7 months that he was there left to take another job. And he felt so sad about that. She would stop back from time to time just to see him. She even came that Sunday morning, not knowing that he passed away. She came to the funeral home, and there before she left, she came up to me and said, "You know, I've taken care of many, many people in my days, but no one's affected me like that man." What a testimony again. God's grace shone through. His life, from earliest days right to the end. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. Their memory is sweet. Well, I must not go on, dear friend, but I think it's only right, as there's not many deathbeds like that. So special, so real. And it was indeed a sweet thing to be there. I would not have traded places with anybody on earth for anything to have witnessed and been there. The sweet spirit of it. Well, may the Lord give us such a longing desire that that might be our portion too. Let's now continue by singing hymn number 509. Come, come my soul with boldness, come unto the throne of grace. There Jesus sits to answer prayer and shows a smiling face. Hymn 509. direct your thoughts this morning now to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and reading verse 2. Moses, chapter 1, reading verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Very quickly we could say this of that, this precious truth this morning, dear friend, that great possession of the land for the children of Israel was not thwarted by the death of Moses. He who had brought them up to its border, by his death could not prevent them from entering in. Nothing would do that. You see, Moses' God still reigned. Israel's God still ruled. And thus, that land which he had promised so long before to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he will give. But so it is still today. Yes, we feel the loss of a pastor at Grand Rapids, one so influential, and yet God still reigns, and there are blessings God still grants. Oh, may the Lord give us to see and behold them in our day. I want to speak first of all of the removal of a servant, secondly the raising of a successor, and then thirdly, the arising of the people. These three things are here in our text this morning. The removal of a servant. What a removing it is. All down through history there's been the removing of these servants of God. They come up, they endure for a time, and then, as we read, of such they go the way of all flesh. The sentence that was pronounced against sin takes hold upon each one. Another clear evidence, they found, that these servants, great as they were by God's grace, were still sinners in themselves. Sin had taken hold and its effect had been accomplished upon them. Moses, my servant, is dead. We read those verses in Deuteronomy 34 where the Lord told Moses, up to the mount, you will die there. Isn't it striking? His natural force was not obeyed and yet he died. Strong word that. We could see, and we do see in all those loved ones around, that the natural force is abated. And that's why they die. But with Moses it was not abated. Yet he did die. And so it must be. My servant is dead. But no, see, dear friend, what we might draw from this. First of all, in this servant, he was God's gift. And what a gift he was to the people. A gift that they didn't value so much as they should have. A gift that they so much overlooked. This is so often the case. Those good gifts that God gives unto people, they overlook. They do not perceive until they're taken away. This gift of God to the people manifests his love to the people.
Oh, if any gave such a man for them, raised him up for them. It was all for his people. Oh, that we might have a glimpse of that this morning. When we think of it, and we think here, and when we think of Moses, let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He too was so much overlooked. He too was so much despised. But what a gift of love God gave to the people. Oh, dear friend, have you received such a gift? By precious faith, by divine revelation, by an unfolding of Him in His Word, His person. Oh, to receive something of Christ in the soul. This is that love of God to the people when He gives such a man, such a person. Moses was said to be their Savior, so Christ is the Savior of all men. Oh, the deliverances that Moses wrought for them. Oh, what deliverances Christ works out for His people. Oh, the wonders of all that Moses was made to that people. Though they so much despised. We'll come to more of that in a moment. But all this gift of God, that He manifests His love to the people in Him. And Moses loved that people, you know. Oh, he did indeed. Though that people so much caused him trouble, and sorrow, distress. So many times, Moses was weary of them. Yet he loved the people. Oh, how he prays for that people. There was his love to them. You remember too how he spake unto the people. God, he loved the people. He's speaking of God. He loved the people. Then he spake again, happy art thou, O people. Who is a people like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? Happy people they must be. Oh, even this is that Moses that God now has taken away. But oh, again, not only did he manifest his love to the people and the gift of this man, but also the care for the people. Oh, look at that care he manifested through Moses in supplying their needs. They cried for bread and manna falls. They cried for meat and the quails come. They cried for water and the rocks are opened. Oh, by Moses' rod. Oh, if you see, this is God's care for the people through Moses. What a gift God has given them, had given them. When He manifests something of His great care. That care again. When all their enemies would come against them, they were smitten down. Thunderbolts from heaven. In many other ways did God destroy their enemies. The Red Sea would destroy the enemy Egypt. But oh, you remember too when Amalek came. Then Moses stood on the mount, praying, hands lifted up. And as long as his hands lifted up, Israel prevailed. But oh, different Israel prevailed right to the end. For those hands were held up later by Aaron and Hur. Oh, this was God's care for the people. Oh, but we would see Jesus in all His care for the people still. Dear friend, if God opens our eyes a little to see all the fullness of His care for His own, how much He cares. Oh, He cares for them so. You remember when Lazarus was dead in the in the grave, and the sisters weeping, and Christ came, and he seemed to weep too. And then some of those in the multitudes, could not this man, which raised it, had made it that this man had not had died? And Jesus groaned in spirit again. Oh, his care for them. So often misunderstood, misjudged, misinterpreted. But his care. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, oh, this wonderful word. But then too, oh, here we see something of God's blessing on the people. His love to the people, his care for the people, but now his blessing on the people. For oh, what blessings came through Moses. When God appeared in Sinai and gave them his holy law, what a blessing. I say, what a blessing. There's no other nation received the law of God like Israel did. And that law, dear friend, it was for their good. It was to guide them. It was to control, to govern. It was that they should then have, lead a life pleasing unto God. Oh, the law of God in its precious perfection there, though they couldn't keep it. But what a blessing they had it. And dear friend, it would be a blessing if we have it yet. If God brings that law down into our heart, what will that law do? That law will show us what we are. And that will be a blessing. It's not a comfortable thing, I know. But it will be a blessing. When the law exposes us, when the law drives us from self unto Jesus, it's a blessing. Oh, this is a blessing that God had for the people. But you see, Tiffin, what did Israel manifest? They took it all for granted. And so do we. Oh, the things we take for granted. We just assume that they will always be. This is a great sin when we do it. A sin against Almighty God. Israel had sinned grievously in that. Oh, when you think again how they took this man Moses so for granted. First, in taking him for granted, they are oftentimes rebelled against him. They walk contrary to what he had told them. What a sad thing. But we do it the same. Again, they spoke against Moses. They murmured against him. Moses came with God's word. They murmured against Moses. You know, dear friend, we do the same. And what a sad thing it is when God may send his servants unto us and they bring his word and we bristle up against it. We find that word to be hard and we reject it. We do just what the children of Israel did to Moses. We speak against it. Oh, how much they spoke against Moses. But then too, what a solemn accountability was laid upon them. God held them accountable to all that Moses spoke of his word. God judged his people by it. And what solemn judgments came. You remember in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses there brought before them all the curses that God would lay upon them.
if they disobeyed his word. And the rest of the word of God in the Old Testament times is God laying his curses upon his people so much for all their disobedience. There's a solemn accountability. And there still is today. To whom much is given, much will be required. We will have to answer. What a dreadful thing it will be when we are called to give an account of all the blessings which God has given us. What we've done with it. Israel surely had great blessings that they misused, despised, took for granted. Moses, my servant, is dead. But then, there was also something of very special association with Moses. That association of the people of Israel to Moses was set forth before us in the book of Exodus, Numbers. But Paul, he sums it up so beautifully when writing to the Corinthians, in the first epistle to the Corinthians. When he brings before him, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud." He goes back now and he reminds them of how all the fathers were under the cloudy pillar. This was the association with Moses. Those that were with Moses had the cloudy pillar with them. What an association it was. And not only that, and all passed through the sea. The whole of that people came through the sea. Without fail. Not one perished. Not one. They thought that they would surely perish. But here was their association with Moses. There was preservation. Oh, what teaching there. Oh, dear friend, do you see Jesus in that too? Are we underneath that precious cloud of the promises? Oh, are we brought through the sea with him? The sea of troubles, the sea of this world. Are we being brought through with him? All will get through it, but many won't get through it with him. And what will happen? They'll perish in the end. But those that come through it with him. Oh, this is a vital thing. To come through this life, this world of trials, with him. They all passed through the Red Sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. There they were joined. What a wonderful, beautiful analogy Paul here gives. They did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. This was their association with Moses. What an association it was that they had. See, different how God made known unto them in and through Moses all his wonders and cares. In his marvelous deliverances. But the precious truths. What truths were revealed unto Israel? Through Moses. There they were favored to behold something of God's glory. As Moses brought them along. Carried them, if you will. Oh, indeed, Moses was. This great servant of God given to them. God's great good gift. A special gift. That they
they should behold his glory. Oh, I say different. I know something of such an association. And what an association those who are taught of God have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Different. Who can describe fully that association and what is all in it for his people? Whatever Israel had with Moses, his people have doublefold. For surely there is a double portion in Christ for all his people. Think of it so, like that. Those blessings of the Lord, of great and small things, things for time and things for eternity. All these wonderful blessings that God has for sinners still. Those who are called and drawn unto him. Oh, I say, dear friend, do you know what it is for God to come in that way and show you something of that gift? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Oh, dear friend, it is a good gift indeed. A wonderful gift that God gives unto the people. But oh, you see too, how God here manifests something of his kindness toward his people. Now we come to this, dear friend, God's removing of this servant. God's removing of him. Just a few things we could say upon that. First of all, his work was done. What a work Moses had. God had laid it upon him. A tremendous work to bring the people out of Egypt. Yes, we read of it so much. We hear about it so much. But you see, dear friend, we can never contemplate it too much. We will never understand fully the greatness of it. What it was for an oppressed people, and they were so oppressed. For a poor people, and they were so impoverished. For a needy people, and they had nothing, to be delivered from the most powerful nation of the day. From the king who reigned in terror. But oh, there will be something of a wonderful work. But that work has now been accomplished. They're brought out. They're delivered from all of the bonds of Egypt. Wonderful deliverance. Oh, but to see something of Christ in that. And this, dear friend, is what his people long to know, long to prove and experience of the Lord bringing them through, bringing them out from all their bonds and setting them free from this Egypt of this, the Egypt of this world, the Egypt of sin, oh, the Egypt of their carnal flesh. Dear friend, it says, greater work, greater, we could say in a way, than that deliverance from Egypt, literally. Those who are brought to understand and know a little of your awful state before Almighty God, your ruined condition, your perishing state, what a wonderful thing to be delivered from it. Oh, this is what will be, this is the great work. Well, Moses' work now in that way was finished. That had been done. Wonderfully so for his people. But not only was the work finished, but the word was fulfilled. The word of God had been fulfilled now to Moses in what he would do in bringing them out, and how that he would destroy all their enemies. Oh, to find that in itself will be great wonder. It should be a wonder when we read it that those mighty armies, those powerful nations, great kings, And the Word of God always makes note of them, how great they were. They were all destroyed. And how? Not by any strength of Egypt, of Israel. Not by any statisticians of Israel. Not by any superior skill of Israel. No. They were delivered. Their work was finished. And the word was fulfilled by their God. Oh, what a God He is. What a God He was to Israel of old. He is still today. That we may we be helped to see how faithful He is to His word. Every word of God is strong. Every word of grace is sure. Not one will fail so. Think of those precious words that the Lord has spoken of His grace and His mercies, His blessings upon poor sinners, His receiving of them. But oh, these are all the strong word of His grace. That too will be fulfilled. It is being accomplished even now, in our day. It's working to its end when it will have its fulfillment. Oh, this was the removing now of this servant of God, because now the word that he had been given to bring to Israel was now fulfilled. They were delivered. They were now come to the borders of Canaan. And then you see, the way was ended. The way. They'd come through a wilderness. A long, long wilderness. A waste howling wilderness. A wilderness wherein they were taught so many lessons. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord God hath led thee these 40 years to prove thee, to try thee, to know what was in thine heart and whether thou wouldst fear the Lord or no. Now that way is come to its end. And thus the removing of the servant. Now, dear friend, the time has gone this morning. If the Lord keeps these things in our mind, we've been touched upon the raising up now of the successor, and then the arising up, the rising of the people for a special purpose. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. And number 94, the 94th hymn. Arise, my soul, my joyful powers, and triumph in thy God. Awake my voice and loud proclaim His gracious, His glorious grace abroad. Hymn 94.
forgive. Oh, thou hast seen amiss in our worship. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us. Amen.